With us over into John's Gospel, chapter number 14. John's Gospel, chapter number 14. You that are tuning in by way of Facebook tonight, we appreciate you watching our program. This is our first Wednesday night, trying to get back together, our kids back in classes. And so we're well aware of what's going on in our communities and our nation. And so we ask that you continue to pray for our country and our community, our churches and our homes. I want to say I'm glad that the Lord has kept us safe so far. And I bless Him and I thank Him tonight. And Brother Randall, would you pray and ask God's blessings on our service tonight? Amen. Amen. All right, John chapter 14. There the Bible says in verse number 1, and it does matter what the Bible says. Amen. He said, let not. Sounds like we do have an option. It means things can come by and trouble our heart, but we're not to let them affect us in our heart to be troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? So Jesus summed it all up in verse 6, for he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 16 of John 14, 16. I want to go to several verses tonight, so maybe you'll have a pen and pencil ready. And I want to teach out of this thought tonight, John 14, 16. As Jesus has laid the groundwork, he replies and he says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And here's our phrase this evening, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Tonight I want to preach out of verse number 17 of the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. There's been a lot of different views about the Spirit of God. We know the Bible says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We all realize tonight that it is essential to have the Spirit of God in order to go to heaven. I'm glad today that I believe the Spirit of God came to live inside of me and he set a seal upon me. And so I'm in Christ tonight. I'm hid from my sin because of what he's done for me at Calvary. But here in the teachings of, we see that the Spirit of Truth, I want us to look at this person of the Spirit tonight. And I want us to notice something. Look in 1 John 5, verse 7. Turn to the right in your Bibles. 1 John chapter number 7. Let's look at what the Lord says. 1 John 5. Verse number 7, way over in the right-hand side of your Bibles. He said, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, or Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Even though they're one, they all are different in their persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Tonight, the Bible tells us that these three, even though they have separate identities, yet they are the same. The Spirit is not just an influence, but the Spirit is a person. And let's look and see what the Spirit of God does with those that are saved tonight. Turn with us, if you would, and let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. Let's look at this person of the Holy Spirit. You'll notice he said that he would comfort you in all things. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God can bring comfort to us this season? I've seen a lot of people in a lot of different situations. I've been in situations myself, and I sure am glad that the Spirit of God lived in me and He's brought comfort to me in my life. I've heard a lot of people say, well, preacher, you know, I don't know if I can handle that situation. Well, you're not in that situation yet. But I sure am glad there's a God in the Bible says that He comforts us or He gives us that of grace. Look in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. And let's see what the Bible says. Now, here Paul is writing and he says this. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Now here we see the Spirit of God as our great comforter, as I read in John 14. But certainly we know that God gives grace. I've heard a lot of people say, well, preacher, I'm scared to die. I've heard about dying grace. I've heard people say, well, I don't have dying grace. Well, you're not dying yet. I'm glad that God will give us grace in the time of need. So he says, Paul is writing, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm glad that God has a comfort that lives in us that can help us through whatever we're going through. In the book of James, chapter number 4, I want you to notice this. James 4 and verse number 6. He says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, He gives more grace. Today, we know that we're living in a day and an age of grace. You may be facing some things in your life, and you're wondering, how in the world will I get through that grace? And God said that He can give us more grace. I'm glad the supply is abundant tonight. He said, I will give you more grace. So, this person of the Holy Spirit, we find out not only is He a great comforter, but we notice, secondly, not only does it comfort, but it abides. Look in John 14 and 15. John 14 and 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that, here's our phrase, that he may abide with you forever. I'm glad the Spirit of God abides in us. You know, we were dealing Sunday out of the double names in the Bible. We was dealing with Simon, Simon. And you remember that seemed like the highlight of the message was Simon Peter. Even though that Peter was saved, he never lost Simon, did he? Simon followed him to his grave. And all of us tonight must realize that this flesh has never been saved. We have an old man who we were born with. Then we have the new man that the Spirit of God has born us from above. So there are two people that live in us tonight if we're saved, the old man and the new man. But here Jesus says, I want you to know that He will abide with you forever. It does not matter if you're saved tonight, how big Simon gets on you. You always remember, if you're saved by the Spirit of God and He will never leave you nor forsake you, you may sin tonight, but you won't enjoy doing what you used to do because He abides in us forever. Aren't you glad that He's not the type of person you can just leave and run off and forget to take Him with you? He goes to bed with us and He wakes up with us. He said, I will abide with you forever. That word has to do as an inner being. He abides within. I'm glad the Spirit of God lives in me tonight. You know, the Bible teaches a lot about the conscience. We know that everybody who's ever born, they have a conscience. They're never born an atheist. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 1 that man, he has a conscience and he can realize about the creation that God spoke it all into existence. He sees that light and he realizes that there is something more than this life. But you know, our conscience can be seared tonight. You may be here and you've never been saved. And the more that you deal with sin and use sin frequently, the Bible tells us that our conscience can become seared. In other words, it won't bother us anymore. But oh, friend, the Spirit of God lives in you tonight. He said, I will abide with you forever. And I'm going to tell you something. The things that I do tonight, He upsets me when I do things that are wrong. I sure am glad that not only is He, does He comfort us, but He abides in us. You know, we're never alone, are we? We may feel lonely. But if you're a child of God tonight, you're never alone. For Jesus abides inside. You know, isn't it a blessing once you're saved? You can never say, I had to go through that by myself. Because Jesus is with you. And there's been times, folks, I sure am glad He is with me when nobody else could get to me. I'm glad He was inside. When I was going through places that I didn't want to go, I sure am glad that He was abiding in me. And look what He says, He will abide with you forever. Forever is a long time. So here the person of the Spirit of truth, not only does it comfort, not only does He abide, but look in John 14 and 26, He teaches. John 14 and 26. The Bible said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. The greatest teacher is the Spirit of God. You know, it's amazing to me how you can study the Bible. You've heard preachers or teachers use a text and all of a sudden you see something in that you've never seen before. I sure am glad that the Spirit of God can teach us tonight. Then in John 15, 26, not only does the Spirit teach us, but we see that the Spirit testifies. John 15 and 26. Here Jesus says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness because ye've been with me from the beginning. Now, preacher, you mean he testified. Yes, He testifies of Christ. I sure am glad that the Spirit of God can convince us that we are a sinner. I'm glad the Spirit of God has testified unto me that the Lord Jesus is the Christ. And so here the Lord is writing. He says when the Comforter will come, He will testify of me. So He testifies. And then John 16 and verse number 7. Watch what the Bible says here. Not only does He testify, but the Bible teaches us that He reproves. He reproves. He says in John 16, verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it is advantageous to you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you. And when He's come, He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So we see there that He reproves. What does He reprove? Sin. The Spirit of God, if He lives in you tonight and you do something wrong, He will make that known unto you. He stands against sin. He don't like sin. You know, you may wonder why that the world is not convicted in many of their lifestyles tonight. I'm convinced because the convictor don't live in them. And so you and I know the day we got saved, our life changed. And now somebody's abiding in us forever, and He tells us when we do wrong. He shows us when we do wrong. And here the Bible says that He would reprove the world of sin. You know something? Jesus is still against sin tonight. And if it's ever been a day and an hour when the church needs to stand against sin, it is in this day and this hour. Sin is not our friend tonight, folks. Sin brings harm and hurt. And oh, we must realize that the Spirit of Christ, He reproves sin. Look in John 16 and 12. Not only does He reprove, but He guides. John 16, verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I've arrived, and man, I can handle anything. It would be amazing what God keeps us from for His teaching us, because we can't handle it. But He says, I've got many things to say to you, but you can't handle it yet, is what He's saying. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now I want to show you something right here. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. Not only does He reprove, but He guides. Aren't you glad that the guider lives in? Do you need direction tonight? Ask the Lord to help you what you need. He'll guide you. And He always leads you to what is right. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, the Lord is leading me here, and it disconnected them from the church, disconnected them from the family of God. So, you know, you simply got to say, well, it couldn't have been the Lord leading you, because He wouldn't lead you to the world. You can always rest assured if God is leading you, it will be in a righteous way, in a right way. He said, I will lead and guide you into all truth. Now, look, I want to show you something in verse number 14. He said also in 13, and He shall, He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Now, if you ever hear a preacher that is glorifying their self, you rest assured the Spirit of God is taking a step back. If you see anybody that is promoting their self, don't ever wonder, is that the Spirit of God? No, no. The Spirit of God will glorify Christ. He uplifts Christ every time. And tonight, the Spirit of truth, He guides us. And then look in 2 Peter 1 and 20. He inspires. Not only does He guide, but He inspires. 2 Peter 1 and 20. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. He inspires. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were, watch, moved by the Holy Ghost. Now these 66 books that's written in our Bible tonight, man did not write them. The Spirit of God wrote them. He used man to write them, but they were moved. They were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Everything in our Bible's right tonight. We don't need a new Bible. We've got the right kind of Bible. And every word in it is true. Matter of fact, it's way ahead of the newspapers. The newspapers hadn't caught this Bible yet. And so here we see the Spirit of truth, He inspired. Could you imagine a man like Simon Peter sitting there writing, and the Spirit of God takes over his pen out of his heart and starts writing what God wants him to say? Oh, I love the inspiration of the Scriptures how it's God-breathed, and how it encourages our heart. Now, I want you to notice in Acts chapter number 8, talking about the person of the Spirit, He reproves, He guides, He inspires, but I want you to notice that He also speaks in Acts 8 and verse 26. Acts 8 and 26. Acts 8 and 26. Now here's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible said, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, Arise, go toward the south through the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said," you see that? "The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Has the Spirit ever nudged you in your heart and told you to do something? It's so important to listen to Him when He tells us something. You say, "Preacher, how will I know that it's the Lord?" Oh, you'll never wonder, is it the Lord? You'll know when the Lord says something to you. He said, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join yourself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I'm glad tonight that the Spirit of God still speaks to us. You know something? I got saved in 1981. I've been saved a good while. And the Spirit does not expressly say something to me every week of my life. But the times that He has spoke to me, I never wondered, was it Him or somebody else? He's so clear when He tells. Now, we know that a lot of times we're moved and we feel impelled to do something. And we should. We should always ought to be trying to be a blessing and put our best foot forward, be a Christian. But I'm going to tell you, there'll be times in your life when the Lord will speak to you about something that you need to hear about. And so tonight we see that the Spirit, He speaks. Then look in Acts 13 and verse number 1. Not only does He speak, but He calls. Acts 13 and verse number 1. Here's the early church in action. There were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, the Spirit calls. You've heard people say, "Well, the Lord called me to preach." I'll never forget one time I called, and I even told a member of my family, "The Lord has called me to preach." They'd never heard that terminology, and they simply said this, "Well, where did He call you from?" Let me tell you something, the Lord calls folks into the ministry. And it is a call that is absolutely, you know, a lot of people will doubt. I remember one time when Brother David Phillips, the Lord, was calling him to preach. Brother David was a deacon here. And I remember one Sunday, Brother David come and he said, of course, he had been talking with me a little bit. The Lord was nudging him. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I think the Lord's calling me to preach." I said, "I doubt it." So a few weeks ago, you asked him. He come. He said, "Preacher, I just sort of think the Lord may be calling me to preach." I said, "I doubt it." Boy, 6 weeks he come. He said, "Preacher, the Lord's calling me to preach." I said, "That's where I've been wanting you to get for 2 months. You see, if I can talk you into it, I can talk you out of it. But oh, I sure am glad when the Lord calls, He calls." That was probably the most, beside getting saved, you can ask Renee about this tonight. That's probably one of the most bizarre times of my life when God called me to preach. I mean, I was minding my own business. I knew what I wanted to do. And boy, God shook me, called me. I went into Sandy Flat Baptist Church. It was revival time. God had been dealing with me. I'd said things that Renee had picked up on. I really didn't think nothing about it. I was pulling out of the church lot one Sunday, and I said, "Renee, wouldn't that be something if I'd be a preacher?" I didn't think nothing about it. Went on home. She reminded me about that. Brother Randall, one night, you can ask, she was sitting there stirring green beans on the oven. The Lord spoke to her and said, "You're going to be a preacher's wife." You know what she said? "What you going to do with Ken?" That's how bizarre it was. Let me tell you, God knows how to do what only God can do. And boy, when the Lord called me to preach, I'll never forget, I went into that revival that night in the men's prayer room. And I'm going to tell you, folks, He shook me to my shoes. And I surrendered to Him. And I'm going to tell you something. It's been the greatest call that I've ever had to obey the Lord and the call of the ministry. This is what really bothers me. And you think about it. I was thinking about this, studying this today. When I was a young preacher, there were several men that was called, you know, Brother Randall, out of the community. Several young preachers come up together. This ought to frighten us tonight. It ought to shake us. You don't hear that much anymore. But God knows what He's doing. Boy, I'd pray God would call a lot of preachers out of Liberty Baptist Church yet. You know, I'm glad that God is still in the calling business. Now, I realize that God calls people to be saved. He knocks on our heart. I know that. That's Bible. But, oh, my goodness, when there's a ministry call upon your life, you'll never be happy till you surrender to what He wants in your life. So here we see that He calls. Then Acts 13 and 3, He sends. You know, I've seen people come to this church and preach, and I'm amazed at what they had to say. You know why? Because God sent them to say it. God sends people. God sends you sometimes. God sends me sometimes. God's in the sending business. Look what he says, Acts 13 and 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." So here we see not only the Spirit called, but the Spirit sends. The Spirit sends. The person of the Spirit. Then, this may surprise some of you, Acts 16 and verse number 4, not only does the Spirit send, but sometimes the Spirit forbids. He forbids, Acts 16 and verse number 4. "The early church now, and they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep that were ordained by the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy..." What? "Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. There's sometimes that the Spirit will forbid from what you were going to do and what I was going to do. That's why it's so important that we follow the leading of the Spirit of God. He knows where we need to be. He knows what we need in this day and this hour. God's good at seeing about all of His children. So we see here, not only does He call, not only does He send, but sometimes He forbids. You would think that it would have been fine for them to go in this area and preach the gospel. You'd have thought it had been fine for them to pick up and go where they seemed like they needed to go. But all of a sudden the Spirit said, no, I've got other plans. Let me tell you, nobody's plans is like His plans tonight. And then lastly, I want to show you this. Not only does He speak and call and send and forbid, but He intercedes. Romans 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. Romans 8 and verse number 26. Romans 8, verse number 26. He intercedes. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But watch this. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I hope that everybody here has a place that they pray. There's times at night when I lay down, I pray. We all know that. Say our prayers before we go to sleep. Been taught that from a kid. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to say something. You need a place where you pray, where you come apart and you can go and pray. And I've noticed when I get into this prayer place, this happens in my life sometimes. The Spirit will bring upon my heart people to pray for that I didn't even think about. It happened this morning. And this is what is amazing thing about the Spirit of God. You could have asked me, I have a list that I try to pray every morning, starting just with pastor friends. And I've got them in order so I don't forget them. And all of a sudden when I'm praying, somebody else will come on my heart and I can just say their name and I would have never thought of them. I've been praying. The Lord's brought many of you on my heart. And I'm sure many of you have been praying and He's brought many others upon your heart. Aren't you glad that the Spirit intercedes for? I've been sitting in my study. I've had men call me, Brother Ken, God put you on my heart this morning. What's wrong? I'd tell them and they'd pray with me over the phone. Aren't you glad we're not in this thing by ourselves? I'm glad there's somebody that's got our best in mind tonight. I'm glad the Spirit of God makes intercession for the saints of God. You know, I used that with Simon. I used it Sunday on Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that you faith fail not. Aren't you glad that Christ prays for us? But I'm so glad that the Spirit of God intercedes for us. He even intercedes for us through others praying. I'm reminded of this particularly. I was having a pretty tough time here at church, and there was a little Church of God man down toward the rubber plant. I can't remember his name, but some of the members had told me to go by and see him and have prayer, and I got a chance. I walked in. He was in a hospital bed. And I began to just talk with him, and I told him I pastored here, and I was going to have church before long, but I want to stop by and have prayer with him, just being kind. And I'll never forget what happened in that room that Sunday night. Brother Conrad, that man on the bed of affliction throwed his hand out over me and he said, "Son, let me pray for you." Lord, he prayed and heaven fell. God really helped me. You say, "Preacher, what's going on?" Oh, God was interceding for me. He had him to go to praying for me. You know how the Lord encouraged my heart. Tonight, have a place that you pray. You may be surprised who God would bring on your heart to pray for, to be a blessing, and to be a help. I sure am glad we're not in this by ourselves this evening. For He is the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of error. He will always, every time, lead you to truth. He will lead you to right. And I've noticed this. The times that the Spirit of God has spoken to me, it's always been right. I'll never forget, I was out of state preaching. And I had to preach on later in the week, and I was there 2 days early. And I sat on the front pew. And y'all, the Spirit of God firebranded my heart. I've been over. I mean, just, I knew what He just showed me I had to preach. I didn't want to preach that at all. I mean, that's the last thing I went there to preach. But I had to mind Him. And I want to say this, even while I was preaching, it was sort of like the devil saying, "You're crazy. You're crazy." But I got on that sermon that night. Not many people responded. I'll be honest with you, I went back to the room, sort of down. But that night, that pastor got a call. There was a woman that the Spirit of God spoke to out of that scripture. She had to be saved. God dealt with her heart. You know something? That's how big and how good God is. God will do something just for you. Just for you. Because you know why? He loves you. We're not in this by ourselves. I had a preacher friend. His mother passed this week, and I got to thinking about him. I'll never forget. We had just got our church up and going here, the main auditorium. My dad passed in Tennessee, and so I went early. Renee, you wasn't with me. You stayed here. I think I went ahead, and then you brought the kids on. But you could have been outside. I'm not sure, but I know this happened. I went in McDonald's in Cedartown. Now I sat there minding my own business, going to get me an Egg McMuffin and a cup of coffee. This old feller, he had to been nearly 80. He turned around and he said, "Boy, why are you troubled?" I said, "My daddy's passed. I got to go preach his funeral." I said, "Pray for me." And I just said that, you know, like we all said, pray for him. You know what he done? He cleaned McDonald's out. He fell down. He started crying to the Lord. Boy, did God help me. I'll never forget, Brother Randall, I got up in that pulpit to preach my daddy's funeral. And y'all, before the throne, I say this tonight, I felt my heart fall to my shoes. And the Lord picked me up. I sure am glad He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Father, I bless You tonight. Thank You that we do have the person of the Spirit of God. Lord, we know the Bible teaches us that we can grieve Him and we can quench Him and we can lie unto Him. Lord, I thank you that the Spirit of God lives in us that are saved tonight. I'm thankful for the Word of God that is still right. Lord, thank you for letting us gather here this evening with these children. God, as I came to church tonight, it seemed as this rung out in my heart. As David said, is there not a cause? Would you touch the lives of these little ones and bless these mom and daddies that have made the effort to be here tonight? God, touch those on our prayer list and help them. Help all of our churches, oh God, our nation, help us tonight. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us here Sunday morning, that you would get the honor and the glory out of everything. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen.